Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wow, I like my own song. Ooh, it's good to have you on the radio. Then you can play your music over and over. People like or not, I don't care, but sun is not going down yet in LA. We have better weather. I'm so tired of the sun already. I don't know. I miss Poland, Europe, because weather for a little bit. But I feel like in home. Again, because today I have three great friends. Wani came back to the show. Hello, Agnieszka Niezgoda.
Hello, Ilona. Glad to be here again.
Oh, this accent. She's the coolest girl ever. And I'm dreaming that one day we'll be working together and we'll take world over. You know?
We both have pretty cool shoes today.
Yes, that's, you know, typical for European girls. No, my shoes are prettier. No, your shoes are prettier. Okay, mine are gold and very comfortable. And I thought they are, but I fell twice in them. But still, I'm wearing them, then silly me. Ha. Now, Agnieszka has something
rainbow
very colorful.
Rainbow shoes.
Yeah, explain colors.
It's rainbow shoes. Come on.
They
I'm
are.
West Hollywood girl. It's rainbow shoes.
They are, but the green color, the emerald green with the purple, what a combination. And your blouse also matches, and your outfit is just perfectly corrected. Or did you choose this way? Of course you did. What a silly question.
Well, perhaps one of the reasons my blouse is, you know, in such a pink color is because Jacek hates pink color.
Oh my gosh, and that's what I love the most. I met Jacek. Hello, Jacek.
Hello, Ilana. How are you?
Jacek, you have a very cool name. Could you give us your name?
Jacek Laskus.
Jacek Laskus. I really want everybody who listens to the show and downloads the show to learn our names. My name is easy. I dropped my married name, two married names before, and I decided that my stage name is Ilona Europa. Okay, because I have an accent, I came from Europe, and I think that was a very cool branding move for me, because nobody complains anymore, oh, she's a singer, why she has an accent? Yeah, because she's from Europe. Thank you for that. That was a genius part of whoever helped me to do that. But I have also this gorgeous marriage here. Because Jacek and Agnieszka, Jacek Laskus and Agnieszka Niezgoda.
Which means I disagree.
Yeah, her name. Yeah, you can explain what means.
Niezgoda means disagreement or I disagree.
And you married disagreement, Jacek?
We still not married, but...
No, you are
almost,
married.
Yes,
we call this married. If
we
not,
married, yes.
I married you on accent on. You got no choice. I want to be the ring bearer. How you call this? Wing bear. When you carry a ring and give to somebody, it's a nice word in English. Ring.
You get engaged?
No, these are people, children who are carrying this ring to the, you know.
Okay. Ring bearer. Probably.
Thank you. I see bearer,
like
yes.
That, yeah.
Hey, people can call. You know that Ilona has sometimes problem with English, and I create my own words. I like the two. Anyway, yes, I would like to be the person who brings this little round, little cute circle. And yes, you married on accent on. I love you, people. The new marriage, disagreement. Girl whose name is, she does not agree with anything. And now you live life so together. Why I am sure that something good is happening between both of you, because I have this amazing book in my hand. It's called Hollywood.pl. Both of you created this book. And I don't know who was more important. I somehow think that this is Agnieszka whose idea it was. But somehow I believe that the pictures in these books created together product or book of so big beauty that everybody needs to purchase this book. I'm not even joking. This is like so important for every American, for young people and European people to just learn about artists that came from Poland, but they are people of the world. They created history of films and history of acting, music, and we know these people somehow, somewhere. But I want to focus today on some of them, and we'll be having many, many interviews because the book has how many people in a
23,
book?
23.
Yeah, and we don't want to miss anybody. Really, we don't. I'm so proud to be a Polish person, but like I said again, every person in this book is a people, they're people of the world. Yeah, then Hollywood.pl, working, I want to buy, everybody needs to buy this book before Christmas. Tell me, Agnieszka, how we can purchase the book.
Oh, many ways, but just, you know, if you visit our website, which is
Hollywood-pl.com.
Okay, one more time, no dot, you say dash.
Dash.
Okay, yes. Let's repeat it one more time.
www.hollywood-pl.com.
Yes.
But okay. You can find it easily also on Amazon. So please go check us out. Yes, the book is like coffee table, you know, huge and beautiful and heavy, and 23 people, you know, in the book.
It gorgeous pictures.
5 years
also.
5 years to complete this project.
Yeah, it's just not even a year old book. Okay, you know, it's so fresh. Oh my gosh, what a present. It's a black, the silver, gorgeous letters, Hollywood and PL. It's just, everything is so expensive. But what is the most cool is, of course, what is inside. I'm so proud to meet both of you guys. It's beautiful. Well, we'll come back to the book because I have one more guest in my show. Accent On is the happiest show today. I have one more gentleman who will be my friend after the show. I'm sure, and you just wrote me something, very short message. Hey, I have my show on September 14th. Maybe you will come, and you know, I'm like, September 14th is week. Okay, maybe we can pitch the show because everybody needs to also come and see you. What is your name? You are new to my world.
Well, my name is Christopher Venet, and my show is Human Identity. It's a one-man show, and I'm going to perform that in a White Fire Theater.
Yes, but you know, one thing that you wrote to me really piqued my interest.
Yes.
You said that you have a little bit Polish accent.
Yes, I do. That's we have in common. That, and yeah, though you know, my show is combinations of movement and words. Nevertheless, it is 90 minutes of talking and showing.
One person on a stage for 90 minutes?
Yes. And he, you know, I explore the subject. It is nothing less than a quest for human identity. And I set up the quest, who I am, what does it mean to be human?
Yeah.
Explored basic, essential human predicament of being alive without knowing who you are, at least not entirely knowing.
Yeah, the finding yourself, thinking who we are. Is this really who we want to be? Is this something who I came from? Why I am who I am today? Will I change? I don't know the show, but I have this question every second of my life. When I wake up, when I go to sleep, I'm like, today I am this. Oh, tomorrow I am this. I don't know. I think we are all creative people. It's very hard to find identity and say, this is who I am. Sometimes I don't know who I am. Do you think I can eventually find out who I am?
Well, in my show, it is I rather explore what does it mean to be human.
Oh.
The way we can define it or how much we are limited to define it. So it is not about my personal search who I am and whom I want to become, but more how do we differ from any other living creatures, what kind of aspirations as humanity we have, and basically what does it mean to be human. And I explored that subject in various ways, to which extent we can understand and figure out ourselves. It comes to this promise that we don't know who we are.
Okay, no, God, thank you. Now I don't feel bad about it because I still don't know who I am. What about you, Jacek? Do you know who you are? Closer to microphone, please.
Well, it's a very profound question. And most of the time I pretend. I know.
Are you faking or you are pretending?
You are very good at this pretending.
You know, but is this not what we do? Because situation in life sometimes just ask us to, I don't know, pretend, that's a better word.
But you know, don't you think that guys are so much better at pretending that they know everything so perfectly well?
Yeah.
And we are so much more modest and withdrew and kind of like, oh my God, I don't know, hesitating all the time. And guys just know, even though they don't.
We need to have a show about that. Okay.
Definitely.
This is a very important show because, you know, I like what I hear there. You're right. You say you are pretending.
It's a very simple answer.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We do this for women we love.
Yes.
And we have to fake it. Because
without that, no love and no.
No love, no dinner, you know.
And no,
oh my God,
no.
I hate what I'm hearing here.
So, and the women that we are with, they expect us to solve problems. You know, how do you fix this?
I don't know, but I cannot say I don't know because she will not like me for that.
Exactly. You're not man enough.
No, you see, but that's cute. But because I really believe after like 2 or 3 months when we are done with this, I pretend that I can do everything. We would like to know really what you can or you cannot. And then life will be...
Because at the end of the day, you are left alone to handle some issues that were supposed to be, you know, fixed.
You take the screwdriver and you know what to do anyway. Without guys, life will be really sad. And you're finding yourself... This is a really, really big issue. Yeah. I think especially when you are a creative person, I'm trying to be more serious about that because really this is an essential question. Christopher, one more time, could you give us like first 2 lines opening from your show?
Okay, I can do a few more. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Christopher Venetschweier and I used to be a mime. But I'm not a mime anymore because I've got old. My body got stiffened and lost plasticity that the art of mime requires. So now I talk instead of showing. But I'm not entirely disabled yet. I still have some movement skill left. So whenever I can show you something. But when I cannot, I will talk. The subject of my show is human identity. I want to figure it out. I lived on this world 62 years and I still don't know who I am. Not really, not entirely. And you don't know who you are either. Not really, not entirely. No one knows it totally, but the creator who made us, but he or she, or it, whoever the creator is, does not let us know the secret of creation. It is unfair. If I knew who I am, if I know how I was made, I would know who I am. Why the creator keeps us in darkness? Maybe the creator is dead. It is a popular notion. Whether he is or not dead, he behaves as such. Therefore, we have no any other choice but to figure out the secret of creation alone.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I need to ask you right away a question because you already brought so many questions and no answer, like rhetoric questions. And will this be 90 minutes of like a really, really question after question? Will you give people some answers or you just really bombard your...
Please
give me, not I need to go to doctors, psychiatrists right now.
Some answers. I have the objective for the show and I explore different subjects, different aspects of it. And it is a comedy. And there will be the
mime who speaks. I liked it. Mime who decided to right now move and probably just speak out your thoughts.
One scene is about difference about men and women who we discussed just a moment ago.
Oh, it's no different.
So it came out naturally in this.
I cannot wait. We will maybe we will all make it. I would love to come and see you. Hopefully, you will do only one show. Again, this is September 14th. Where?
It would be Whitefire Theatre. It is on Ventura Boulevard between Woodman and Fulton.
And please go to Facebook because obviously I posted the links. Then if somebody would like to purchase tickets or just find out more, then that's the place to go. And always after the show, we'll be having a show available for downloads and it will be on Stitcher, on iTunes, on LA Talk Radio, Accent on page, then I think we hopefully will make some awareness around this topic. I hope so. Oh my gosh, I need to think about this right now. Who I am and why. I really want to know more. I really need to know the 90 minutes, the 85 minutes before end of the show. If you don't give me few answers, I'll be so angry. Few answers that I need to, you know.
You will get few answers, but the answers turn to the next question. So be that
way. Oh gosh, okay, that's what I was afraid of. Anyway, hopefully, this is something that everybody can enjoy. And please come and see 90 Minutes of Show with Christopher. It is, again, September 14th. Naturally, I'm trying to move to my beautiful two friends again.
And I have a perfect connection for you.
Yes, please tell me. You don't know who you are, too?
I don't know who I am either, but that's very interesting because when we ask, you know, about human identity, the two things that really distinguish us from the, you know, nature and the surrounding and other species are sense of humor, and the second one, that we do not agree to succumb to our own nature, our body. We always try to overcome any obstacles. We invented glasses, right? You are wearing glasses to improve your sight, eyesight. We are having, I don't know, beauty improvements to look, you know, young and beautiful, especially
my
here.
My extensions are getting longer, like I said.
Oh my God, you are ruining a secret here.
Oh, no secret. I just won't bring this. You know, extension is something so cool. Today you can have shorter hair, next day longer. That's
okay,
fun.
But now
that's
let fun. Me be very serious here.
Okay, so, oh my God, serious. Yes.
So, and speaking of overcoming obstacles, you know, and really not succumbing to your own boundaries, emigration is something that really embodies this issue. When we think about being an immigrant, when we think about leaving, you know, your old life behind, coming to an entirely different country, coming, you know, to the entirely different, you know, part of the world, and really achieving something here, we are speaking about the essence of really, you know, a human battle, human struggles.
Absolutely.
That's how I see it.
That's very serious. And
that's what our book is about.
That's the book, yes. That's what we are saying. This is not only about films about great people in our culture. It's just really life stories of people who came from another country.
It goes so much beyond, you know, like the depiction of Hollywood,
and
the fight
and overcoming obstacles and just picking yourself up, shaking off and just doing your dreams, your hard dreams that seems like will never happen. I know, Jacek.
Yeah.
I went into your website. Mm-hmm. You scared me again because I don't know. Yeah, I introduce you, okay? But you need to introduce yourself. If not, I will ask Agnieszka to do for you. You need to tell us who you are, please. Don't be sarcastic. Don't be laughable. Because if not, I will be like reading and it will be boring. Could you tell us a little bit about your life and achievements successes? This is so beautiful. Honestly, you are really hot. Amazing dude.
Thanks.
We'll talk later after the show.
Let me just follow up on that, being an immigrant.
Yes.
You know, because Agnieszka said it's somebody who leaves the country and goes to the new country. In my opinion, you know, I never felt good in Poland. I was searching for my own country. So it wasn't I was leaving my country and coming to a new country. I was in search for my country, my place to be.
Interesting.
Did you find it out?
New York City. New York City was that place.
Wow.
And it was an exceptional moment that I realized that it was. You know, it was...
You were a young filmmaker back then?
Well, I was
graduate.
I finished film school in Poland. And, you know, had this opportunity to come to the States. So I packed my bag, you know, with my 16mm and 35mm films that I was hoping somebody would be interested in seeing, student films. And, you know, a couple clothes. And I think I had a pair of cowboy boots also for some reason or another, because I know they stole it from me later on. And it was a night in May in New York, Greenwich Village, and I went to the Washington Square. It was around 2:00 in the morning, and the energy that I experienced there, that kind of that basically vibrant, giving human energy that was just so opulent and so diverse, was so engaging.
That you felt that right in home? Said, that's it.
I don't know if that. I fell in love with it. I just said, this is it.
This is it. You this want to fight this gorgeous place. You want to belong.
And I want to belong like there. I want to explore there because there's so much to explore.
Okay. But then it's many, many years later. You are in LA. But somebody gave you the first break. Could you give me just us, of course, a little... You know, your history of your life, because you have so many achievements. You know, you were part of so many great movies, and we all know them. And who did you work with? And who was the person first who believed in you? And who was the first person that you loved to work with, not because of bad money, because you just dreamt to work with them?
You know, it was very interesting. My friend, Filip Bajon, who is a film director from Poland.
Yeah.
And we've been in film school together, just a little apart year-wise, but we befriended each other. He came to visit me in New York, and he had this appointment with Robert Altman.
Okay, oh my gosh, let's repeat. So, we are talking Robert Altman.
Yeah. So I don't know how much Philip remembered the rest of his stay with me, but... That's another issue, but we went together to meet to the meeting, and you know, being an admirer of his films and so on, we sat down and talked, and you know, I kind of said, "Well, is there anything I'm looking for? You know, some work, you know, and that would be just such a privilege working with you." And he said, "You know, I have a cinematographer ready for the next film I'm doing, but I don't have a still photographer for a set. Can you do this?" And I said, "Yeah, I do still photography, so yeah, of course I can. So can you come by and bring some samples of your photography?" So I said, "Sure." We made a date, and I went home, and I looked at my prints, and they were mostly black and white nudes. So I packed them, you know, I would say, you know,
That's what I have.
That's what exactly. I show. So I'm going to go and show it to Bob. So I went, he looked at it, and he said, "You got a job." So
that was a breakthrough.
Well, in a way it was, because a couple years later, he was looking for a cinematographer, and I got a call from him to shoot his movie. And... I got, for that movie, I got the first nomination for my work by American Society of Cinematographers. So it was kind of a nice stepping stone.
Oh, boy. Of course. And you are in America how many years?
Well, let me see. That was 6 years after I arrived to New York.
Somebody will say, "How did you do that? A lot of beautiful American talented people are waiting much longer for this amazing one meeting that can change their lives. And you said 6 years took you really accomplish something that you call success.
Well, it was very successful, a moment, and you know, I mean, it was kind of a dream come true, almost.
Yeah, absolutely.
Though it's a small film, it was in the feature film, was a film for CBS, but based on a very known book with extreme cast, you know.
Could you give us the names? We love names dropping.
Jeff Daniels was in So Brad Davis, who was in what was that movie that he was in, Turkish prison, Midnight Express.
Okay. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
There was a kind of an ensemble piece, and there was a courtroom drama. So it was a difficult film to do visually,
but it happened.
It happened.
And now you are in LA. How many years you are here?
Oh, over 20.
And again, I know both of you. If you have both of you time, I would love to have this beautiful conversation to be continued. And today we have a business to do because the hot book is here burning. The Hollywood.pl is burning. And I know when Agnieszka was here last time,
we had such a great time.
We had so good time. And we have today great time.
Of course, we are having.
And like always, time is running up. And we spoke about Agnieszka Holland, I think, a little bit. But the book has, like you said, 23 names. And
I'm so happy you are actually reading it.
Oh, how can I not? You know, and obviously I went straight into the gorgeous pictures because whatever you say, we are very visual people. Everybody's visual. Mm-hmm. You know, newspaper, why you are buying newspaper or because you see cover. You know, why you are going for the book. Wow, it's so sad in a way that all of you, Jacek, people like you, they really manipulate our brains to wanting to pick up something that, you know, you all put on a cover or inside of the book. This book is just a very beautiful. And then I was like flipping gorgeous girls and, you know,
Which chapter seems most interesting to you?
You see, in a funky way, I started from music because, of course, I know a little bit about Jan Kaczmarek. Then I'm like, oh, okay, let's see. I'm in music business. Let's see what was his life story then. But also, I like the younger generation of gorgeous girls. Then I flip through them, special pictures over there, so hot, so cool. And then, of course, I opened the book first and I want to talk about Roman Polanski and your interview with Roman Polanski. But I want to leave this for our interview, maybe number 5.
Or six, we'll
close our interview, you know, with real, real description once again, because you mentioned a little bit on our first interview about this day with Roman Polanski.
Oh, that was crazy. And I will be happy, so much happy to talk it over. But yes, let's leave it, you know, the best for the last.
I'm giving both of you time to talk because I think you both will be describing the best what is in the book and why we will pick. Do you want from the top or pick some names? Maybe today, pick Agnieszka one, and then we'll ask Jacek to pick another chapter of the book or person.
Okay, let's meet.
Did he like it?
Okay, yeah. No, you know, I loved everybody, you know, and every meeting was such a challenge and so inspiring
to
me. But let me just, you know, talk, because earlier on, before the show, you mentioned that you were attracted by kind of like women's stories.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. So let's talk about one woman, which is Anna Biedrzycka-Szepard. She's
a costume
designer. She worked on such a major, major Hollywood blockbusters as Inglourious Basterds. She was nominated for the Academy Award for Schindler's List. She also worked on The Pianist. And I met her, we actually both met her when she was in Los Angeles working on Captain America. $200 million budget, like a huge, huge production. So she had this one day off, you know, Saturday or Sunday, whatever, and we drove to her hotel. We met her for the very first time, and we had like a very, you know, nice yet kind of like a little bit formal discussion, you know, just to kind of like introduce her to the project, introduce the project to her, and kind of convince her to be on the board, to join the book. So it all went smoothly. It was night, and you know, we just it went nice, and we left like after, I don't know, an hour or so. So the next meeting we set up again at the same hotel while she was still in LA working on Captain America. So this time I drove by myself, and I was kind of like a little stressed and nervous as always. You know, after all those years working as a journalist, I'm always stressed, you know, and nervous that, oh my God, am I going to do this? Am I going, you know, to remember everything I made my research, you know, about this person? You know it. You know,
absolutely.
The best. So, of course, as usual, I was a little nervous. And I met Anya, and, you know, cut to 8 hours passed by. We had a bottle of white wine, had lunch together, couldn't stop talking. And at the end of the day, she said, you know what? Next time you're on your way from Los Angeles to Warsaw, why don't you stop by at my place in London? We'll finish the interview. So, again, cut to a year later, entire year, because the book took almost five years for us to complete this project. So after a year, I was on my way to Warsaw from Los Angeles, and I stopped by at Anna's place in London, and we had like the most amazing, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, because she turned out to be like, you know, so hospitable and generous and welcoming and friendly person, and we couldn't stop talking. And after those, you know, like really very private meeting, I wrote a chapter that Jacek, who always was the first reader of my of my work, as I was the first kind of also viewer of his work. So Jacek was the first reader, of course, and he said, you know, this is such a beautiful, amazing story, and it's so intimate in a way that you can read, you know, your admiration for her as a woman, as a professional, you know, woman in a very tough field of show business, but also you can read in between the lines, kind of like a friendship woman. And intimacy. And Anna's story was an amazing one to me because I connected to many different kind of chapters within this chapter. Anna was 30 when she left Poland for England, for London. She had been an established and accomplished costume designer in Poland working for Zanussi. She became like a major Krzysztof Zanussi costume designer. So she worked on those major Zanussi sets. And she was 30, kind of like already established, coming from a very kind of comfortable environment, family environment. Her father was in the movie business. Her mother was a doctor. They were living, you know, in a very nice apartment, you know, next to the old town in Warsaw. So when she was 30, she decided, and that was like really jumping, you know, in a very, very deep water, that she wanted to leave it all behind and just go to London. And she rented like one tiny bedroom apartment and she started working as a waitress.
That's crazy.
And you know, it's an amazing story. And then cut to, you know, an amazing, like, you know, the next chapter within the chapter. So she spent several years in London working as a waitress with her career left, you know, in Poland. And she would travel once a year, you know, to work on a movie here and there, you know, Polish movie. Cut to when she was over 40 already, and she's like very honest, you know, about kind of like, you know, age schedule here, so I'm not like being, you know, mean or anything. So when she was over 40 and she was working back then as a manager, but she was promoted from a salesperson in a clothing store, and she was on a vacation with her daughter in Poland when her husband Krzysztof called her saying, Ania, Steven Spielberg wants to be in touch with you, and said, Krzysztof, are you crazy? Steven Spielberg wants to contact me. Somebody is making a joke. What are you talking about? No, but they left a phone number. I said, oh, wow. My God, you are being so naive. Come on, you know. And so, you know, so she disconnected, and then she picked up this number and said, well, you know, okay, stupid joke, but I'm going to check it. So she's calling, and what she hears at the other, you know, side of the line, Steven Spielberg's production office. That was Steven Spielberg who reached out to her through some connections from her previous movie with Agnieszka Holland back like six years ago, To Kill a Priest, about Popiełuszko.
Yes.
Popiełuszko story. So, and that's how, and you know, the first business class ticket, you know, arrived to Los Angeles, and she flew to Los Angeles. She got a job on Schindler's List, for which she was nominated for the Academy Award, and so suddenly her life just switched entirely. So that was such an amazing, beautiful story, how you need to be like really truthful to yourself, follow your path, and someday you will just make it in the most beautiful, you know, way.
Yeah, I know Jacek.
She's also...
Jacek is almost crying.
You met her. You had the first meeting with her.
No, I mean, she's a very hardworking person. Also.
Extremely.
Very, very determined. You know, talent is one thing. But as we know, you know, amount of work and dedication. But, you know, there is something interesting when Agnieszka was telling about Ania leaving
Poland.
And it's something that I feel the same. You know, you just don't
know why you're doing that.
You don't know why you're doing, but you know that you have to do it.
Hmm.
Because there is something that is this unsatisfying.
Yeah,
and
not everybody, but that's the chutzpah. And I think Polanski used the word.
Yeah, you need to have this chutzpah.
You need to have this word that lots of people in this book had.
It's easier when you are younger still, because, you know, the older you get, you know, the tougher, the tougher it gets.
Changing.
Of course, you know, being arrogant means to be young. And of course, it's good to kind of like maintain a certain level of chutzpah and arrogance. But of course, you know, the older you get and the more arrogant you are, the more ridiculous you become.
Yeah, so. But you know, for her being so successful in Poland and just move into England and just being a waitress, and then 10 years passed and she's getting this amazing phone call, and she just start working with Spielberg. This is, I don't know what we can call this, like you meeting
faith,
Altman.
Faith.
Yeah, there's a beautiful
faith, but
work.
Also her hard work. You know, the fact that she kept working on the Polish movies, and she cooperated with Agnieszka Holland on this film, and because that was French American co-production, so somebody recommended her to somebody,
yeah.
And that's how it paid off after all those years.
That was the closure that I was looking
faith,
for.
That's faith. That's coincidence. But that's also her character. You know, right, that is also called character. Because if you are following your path, one day or another, you get this one phone call
or whatever, or this road.
That's what
open.
I believe. Perhaps
I believe
it's naive,
in that too.
But
no, it's not. I believe in the two. I think if you work hard, Jacek, still going back to hard work, you know, that good things will happen. They must. Okay, Jacek, but picture.
Picture.
Okay. Describe the picture. And I would love to, of course, if I may, if we can, you can send me, you know, JPEG. I would love to, right now about two people.
Yeah, let's put it next to the
one. Okay, yes.
Well, you know, at some point, you know, your eye becomes a camera when you work that long with a camera. So you basically see images.
Yeah.
You don't see the world as it is, you just see multiples of images, you know, and some of them you like, some of them you don't like. So, you know.
But taking pictures of humans, faces,
well,
or describe,
you know,
who they are through the picture, this is a pretty tough.
It is a pretty tough thing, but there are certain sensitivities that you learn, you know, when you make movies as a cinematographer. That it's all about nuances, and it's about telling a story, telling emotions. And in movies, you tell emotions, but sequence of shots and moving camera and colors and all that stuff.
And then still, picture captures this moment.
Picture has to capture one moment, one this unique moment, which is not 100th of a second earlier. Or 100th of a second later. It has to be at that
in the moment,
that precise moment. You have to capture that relationship between you and somebody that you photograph, that unique moment that you know you got it. But you have to also know what you're looking for.
Do you ever have doubts that this is the it? A picture, or you really internally
know? Oh, of
course
you do. And then you said, you know what, let me just keep going and do a little more, because you feel like maybe you were mistaken. Mm-hmm. But then you go back and you find that
go
picture.
Back. No, this one
and,
sticks
and
in
then
your head.
It's definitely some of it, you know, speaks to you louder than others. Because
and
for
working
that reason,
with digital cameras, do you think this kills art or brings art to the higher level?
No.
No, what?
No, definitely not. It makes pictures taking easier.
Yes.
Definitely. And
are they equally artsy?
They can be, but they don't have to.
For people like me. You know, I call art everything what I snap.
Actually, I think that digital cinematography, photography, taking pictures, you know, with all what we do, most of the time make us lazy.
Mm, you're right.
You know, because we, allow us for attention that picture needs.
Yeah.
You know, because we can deal with hundreds of pictures a second or a minute,
you know.
Right.
And we are talking to a very important person, because obviously you are also a teacher. And I would like to tell everybody, if somebody wants to get some lessons, and I'm like saying no lessons, he's a very important teacher. Where are you teaching?
Well, I'm very privileged to actually be giving cinematography workshops, both at USC and AFI.
And my daughter, I try to wake her up because she's at USC and she comes for one night or two, and mostly she sleeps on the couch. She's so tired. But when I was reading and, you know, going through your website, I'm like, Natasha, wake up! She's at USC in music business. And she just finished her first video with, of course, students from cinematography, you know, department. I'm like, Natasha, you don't get it! Wake up! No, she didn't. She slapped that button. Honey, you don't get it who I'm talking to. And you know what? Maybe you can say hi from time to time to Jacek. But you are very, very, very good what you are doing. And I'm so proud to have both of you here. Okay, we covered a tiny little bit first person, if we can say. Okay, then Anna. Now, if we can talk about second person, who we will be choosing?
What will be your choice?
You know what? Yes. Oh gosh, I don't want to go to only young people. Let's go for somebody.
We can go for Adam, to Adam Hollander.
Yes, you can do that.
Adam Hollander, which is a great also connection to what Jacek was already talking about, because he's a cinematographer as well. And he was probably the first or one of the first cinematographers from Poland in the States. He arrived here in the very early 60s. And very soon he established himself as a well-known and accomplished cinematographer. He worked on Midnight Cowboy. So he shot Midnight Cowboy.
And you knew him, yes, Jacek? You had the pleasure to meet him?
We know each other because, you know, Adam loves New York.
He still lives in Manhattan. He breathes
New York. And when I was living in New York, we met.
Okay.
Then our path kind of separated when I moved.
That was your connection that brought Adam to
the
group.
We met with him here in Los Angeles because he still travels, you know, for business meetings here. So, yes, Jacek kind of, you know, cleared the path to Adam Hollander.
Beautiful.
And we met here. But then it took us some time before I traveled. I flew to New York for this interview, and then Jacek traveled to New York for the photo session. But what I wanted to talk about, and it's like a very short, you know, like, chapter within a huge chapter of Adam Hollander's life. So he arrived in the early 60s in New York from Poland. And there was a scene when he was approaching New York, and Jacek is better with New York geography. So now this is very unusual of me. I'm giving a voice to Jacek.
Okay, Jacek, where was it?
Okay, there are two ways to get to Manhattan. One is from the Long Island, called the Wrong Island. And another one is from New Jersey. Kind of, but there is also a third way from up. But mostly when you arrive, you kind of either from Newark or JFK. And Adam, there's a road that goes to Manhattan. And there's that bleak moment, a very short moment, that for the first time from that road you see Manhattan. And you never forget in your life for the first time you see Manhattan.
This first impression.
That first impression is always...
Don't cry.
Yeah. Oh, you're home. we need to move him there.
So anyway...
So that was the impression.
I know that moment, though I have my other one from the other side. And that actually first impression that Adam had became the
let me now tell the story. Okay. Because I just included him for the topography here.
You mean woman? Yeah, I think Jacek was going somewhere with this. They both have very similar feelings, I think.
No, but I will let you tell your story in a second. But, you know, that was for me, because that is exactly the same scene I want to talk about. So this image when Adam Hollander was approaching, you know, Manhattan became a scene when Joe Buck, you know, the Midnight Cowboys protagonist, is approaching Manhattan, traveling from Texas. So that was like a very symbolic, you know, and very kind of like crucial to both of us, that the experience that Adam Hollander, a Polish emigre, had became part of American mainstream in a film that became American classics. So that is like a beautiful and short and very speaking, you know, description how our emigrants' experience become part of American culture, of American mainstream. Did you want to add anything else?
No.
Jacek, you entered New York from another side.
I entered, that was very scary, actually. First, you know, there were those gravestones in Queens up front, kind of in a small version of the skyscrapers. And then I just had this impression that basically you move from those big skyscrapers into those little skyscrapers at some point of your life. But then the terrifying moment was when we came out, from the Midtown Tunnel, and there was a sign uptown and downtown. And as a European, you have no knowledge of uptown and downtown.
Yes, we don't.
Because you have a city center.
Yes.
And I said, oh, no, there's one town above the other. And you know, I said, I guess downtown, so where the poor people live.
I want to go right. up.
And then we went
down.
And I was still completely terrified. Fell in love in the place.
Terrified completely. But I want to talk.
Okay, let's talk. Do we have some? Yeah.
The photographs a little bit, because most of the a lot
from
of these
the
people.
Hollywood,
yeah, a lot of those people were my friends and are my friends.
Yeah.
And some of them, like Zbigniew Rybczyński, I worked with and the new from film school. So Darek Wolski and some of the people I met here. You know, it's kind of difficult sometimes to photograph people that you know.
Oh, yes.
Because we are talking about you know them so well.
You know when they pretend or when they try to become, for the picture, somebody they are not that you really know there.
And they're very strong individualities. Oh. So at the same time, you know, how do you
make them vulnerable?
They know you. You know them.
I don't show you what you want me to show
exactly.
you.
So there is that game in the beginning.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's like first, you know, I would say role of a film, but there's no role of film anymore.
Was vodka involved in all of these pictures?
No, there were dinners, you know, there were some wine sometimes, you know. But I was searching for that things that I knew about people, and mm-hmm. also that would correspond with what Agnieszka was writing. So the pictures and the interviews would be a total portraiture mm-hmm.
yeah.
of people that by looking at the picture, you will recognize, you will connect with the person.
Story, their life story already.
And
you know,
then,
the shadow, how you beautifully putting shadows on the faces.
And then reading, you would understand what you felt at the beginning.
And why you put exactly. just this picture and not another.
Yeah, so
we are talking about Hollywood.com.
PL.
Hollywood.com, we'll talk again. Hollywood.pl. And again,
book
is available on Amazon.
Yes, and on our website, which is www.hollywood-pl.com.
Please.
But if you Google Hollywood PL, it will come out. So.
And it's really important because we are talking about art book. This is like really something so beautiful, so special. So, again, I'm repeating, rich looking, heavy, big. And you can cost around $50, yes?
Yeah.
And has two, is in Polish also.
Yeah, yeah. It's available both in English and Polish editions, two separate editions. Yeah, we had a bunch of people, you know, working with us as our publishing house team. And I'm so proud, you know, of the job we've done on this book. But it's also, it is an art book and the photographs are amazing. But also, you know, due to the biographies that, you know, people were just, you know, so open to share with us, you know, you can really read a very intimate, intimate, you know, testimonies. And there's one thing, you know, funny. Somebody here from LA told us after the book was published that, oh my God, I never thought it would ever get published. So we all shared all those intimate stories because nobody believed it would be out there.
Oh.
And now everybody can read it.
And you know, but yes, you are a journalist. And
yes,
we were mentioning a little bit before about your life story. And, you know, our next, hopefully, interview in a few weeks will come up again. We covered only two people today, Anna Biedrzyńska and
Shepard
and
Adam Hollander.
And man, we have so much to talk about and time is running up. But I'm saying we talk about you a little bit. You are a journalist, like 15 years?
Yeah, more. 15 years now. I also published my first novel back, oh my God, 6 years ago, 5 years ago now. That was, you know, in Polish, that the title was Dobranocka. It was a novel compared to kind of Polish Sex and the City. So nothing, you know, that you can compare with this one. But yes, I kind of applied, you know, both my journalist skills in this book as, you know, my kind of like fiction writing and screenwriting, also, you know, craft. because every chapter, and that is something, because I just feel, you know, awkward kind of, you know, advertising my own writing but my goal was to really depict each person in a very, you know, with a very individual approach. So each chapter is more like a script about, you know, this person biography. It's not like one-to-one press interview.
And I need to say that your questions are pretty good. You know, they're leading question, and you knew what really you wanted to get.
Yes, but people were also,
you know,
surprised and shocked, you know, when they, because every interview was authorized, you know, by a person that I interviewed. But people were shocked that it was not like one-to-one, you know, the one-to-one kind
translation.
Of translation of the conversation that we had, because it is not, you know, what I recorded, what I wrote down, you know, from the recording, that was like the starting point for me to write kind of like a, you know, script, a little kind of, you know, small script interpretation of this person's biography.
Because you are painting life story, and there were tiny
it's
little
very
movies.
Beautifully said, painting
and,
life stories.
And then when you have these gorgeous pictures, that obvious, again, Hollywood.pl, please, people, pick up this book, go to Amazon and check this book out. We'll be posting some pictures from the book also.
That would be great.
And, you know, today, like I said, we had time only for two people. And we need to say bye-bye because time is running up and CBS News are just coming very fast. And
we
I
didn't
have
even
no
have
choice.
Time for music today.
I didn't play anything. I didn't sell nothing today of me, but I am very happy for that because I think I really loved all of you today. Again, I would love to say, Christopher, where is your show again?
My show, it is in Whitefire Theater. So it's
September 14th.
Yeah, September 14th.
What time?
At 7 p.m. It's on 7 p.m. Sunday, coming Sunday. Yes.
Wonderful.
So welcome
then,
everybody to the show.
And again, your website, Jacek.
Oh, just jaceklaskus.com.
How we spell your name?
JACEKLASKUS.
And, of course, when it comes to Agnieszka, please, you give us your website.
I'm not going to spell it, Agnieszka Niezgoda. Just check our book out, Hollywood PL, and it would be, like, you know, the most rewarding Google search that you can do on me.
That's beautiful. And I will play, like, 1 minute of my funky song. It's supposed to be serious, but we'll finish happy. Eternal Keys.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.